Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is fantastic to have your company for another episode of the show. Now today I'm joined by Dom Brightman, who is the author of several books and the host of a podcast called Going North. His books are called Going North, so the same title, and he's got another book called Stay the Course. And in this conversation, we talk about personal growth because we know that for a business to grow, first we must grow. And sometimes we've got to do that inner work before we get to see the outer results. So in the conversation today, we're going to be talking about self-leadership. We're going to be talking about how do we need to show up, and equally, how do we help develop other people? How do we identify their greatness? How do we give them confidence in their skills and abilities? And how do we bring that out? Because we know that in business, if we want to go fast, the expression says that we go on our own. But if we want to go far, then we need to go with other people. So our job as business owners is to not just stay the course, but to bring other people with us, to develop them, to help them fulfill their own potential. And in this podcast, Dom shares some really good insights, some practical tips and some practical strategies, as well as a ton of anecdotes that will help you understand and appreciate those things required to help you on your journey. And that's really what it's about, your journey. So I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it with Dom. Now, before we get into the episode with Dom, I just want to encourage you that if you are a dental practice owner and you want to extend your journey in your business, you want to go fast and far, then I'm going to encourage you to come to the Savvy Dentist Facebook group, because in that group, we have some training, we have some tools, we have some strategies to help you in your quest to build a practice and a life that you love. So look forward to seeing you in the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. So all you need to do is go to Facebook, search for Savvy Dentist, the group there, answer the questions, and would be more than happy to welcome you to the group. But for now, let's get on to our conversation with Dom. Dom Brightman, thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang out with us on the Savvy Dentist Podcast. How are you tonight, mate?
My man, the DJ, the Dr. Jesse, man. Thanks so much for having me on, man. Savvy Dentist. That's right, indeed. Turning cavities into freaking pavement. You love to see it.
We're going to have some fun. We are going to have some fun. Now, Dom, you've got a really interesting backstory. I've read a bit about your work. I've read a bit about your life story. And, of course, you've authored several books. You've got a podcast called the Going North Podcast. Before we start talking about leadership, which is your area of expertise, and I know you're really well recognized and highly regarded in that space, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the backstory for the purposes of the audience to understand about how you came to this point in your life where this became your life's work. What's been the life and times of Dom that got you to this point?
Yep, sure thing. My goodness, indeed. Well, what kind of led me to where I am today, my inner compass, if you will, was kind of going in multiple directions, kind of like that squiggly line of success. If anyone's ever seen that wonderful internet meme where they have two lines side by side, what success looks like, they got a straight line going from south all the way to the northeast. But truth be told, it starts going up north and then it goes side to side and it turns to this giant squiggly line. And then you'll eventually make it up north. And that's kind of where I was back in 2012. And what really happened was a paradigm shift. This was like a pre-pandemic, pre-2020 paradigm shift in my own life, where I had a setback sandwich of summer that year, July 30th. Dad went out for a drive, got lost for 32 hours, comes to find out he actually had Alzheimer's, and the police was able to find him driving on the opposite side of the road. We were lucky he was still alive. So having to now be part-time caregiver, part-time staff member working at a local library, as well as full-time college student, just increased my repertoire and my workload. So much to where a month later, and some change, turning 21, on my way to PC IT security class, I got into a car accident on my way to class. And to make it even better, or not better, got called into a meeting with my boss about a good couple weeks later because my personal life was showing up in my professional life. And the thing is, a lot of us, especially when we're at our peak and when we're younger is that, hey, we could separate the two. I could be one guy or gal here and I could be a different person there. But truth be told, your personal life and your professional life, they're together because it's all one life we all have to live. You can wear as many masks as you want, but at the end of the day, you're going to reveal yourself because it takes energy to try to separate those personalities. And God forbid it's a day where you're tired, you're going to forget it. So finding out that I was lacking some self-awareness, I decided to pick up some books by John Maxwell, like Thinking for Change. And of course, his 21 Qualities of a Leader and Changing My Life for the Better, to where I started to read at least 50 plus books a year since then. And just taking some tips from those self-development books and applying them to my life. And applying them so much that I eventually became a published author, podcast host that's interviewed over 700 authors across the globe, and entrepreneur, and even got promoted multiple times at my day job, all because I took that advice from the books I read and applied it to my own life. And that's really kind of a way to really make yourself your own next level sensation, to be that savvy version of yourself, if you will, is when you take the raw material that you have, and then you actually find tools to add to your toolbox and then actually use those tools and don't wait for them to rust and then break in half when you try to use them.
You've touched on something that is really near and dear to my heart, Dom, and that is using the tools that you have, because I think that's really key. You know, it's good to read the books, it's good to take the lessons, but at some point you've got to get on the field and have a go. You've got to get into the play. What separated you from others that take the tools but don't use them? What was the impetus for you to use them? Was it a need? Was it just a desire? Was it circumstance? Because not everyone takes the tools and uses them.
It really all stemmed for a genuine desire for change, because I really didn't like where I was. Like, even Jim Rohn, the late great motivator, who was actually Tony Robbins' mentor, mentioned that, hey, there's that day that'll change your life. In a way, I had that series of moments, those setbacks that set me up for a story of success forward, because that changed my life, where I just wanted to change. Because really, we only change because of pain or pleasure. And most times it's because of pain, because you're either going to want to escape pain or have more pleasure. Well, there was no pleasure in my life. So, well, there was pleasure. There was living and breathing. That's definitely pleasurable, because folks don't get that luxury. Some folks are lucky to be alive today. So that was a pleasure, but nothing beyond that, nothing next level. And that was a level of pain for me, because I felt like I was going down a spiral, and it was just that desire for change and really acting on it. Because the thing is, when you're actually tapping to your inner gritty ways, if you can really find that within yourself, heck, even having great role models like my father himself, he was all about hard work. My mom, she too was all about hard work. She was a highly educated woman, and my father, he was a veteran in the U.S. Army, and even up into his early 80s, he was still volunteering at his church with heavy boxes lifting him up. So just having those role models and just having that desire for change, like those two wonderful ingredients, will definitely help you to create that success you truly want.
Do you have any thoughts around commitment? Do you have any thoughts around decisions? Do you have any examples of where you've seen that work really well?
The thing is, when it comes to commitment, that's actually one of the C's in one of my talks. The C's of explosive growth is really commitment, because the thing is, you have to really be curious. Because back in 2012, I was curious about, okay, I have this desire for change. What can I do different? Finding different materials and finding different tools and applying them to my own life. And then taking that curiosity and then actually taking inventory of what I was doing and seeing, okay, let's see what actually works. And one of those things was actually, that actually even made me more of an ambivert, was doing something I call the mirror force method. Because heck, even in business, or for those looking to become entrepreneurs or even to up their game, asking those that you trust three things that you're good at and three things that you could work on and improve upon. And when they tell you what those are, just make sure you be as silent as possible. I'll offer no feedback at all. Just ask them for their feedback in those 3 areas. 3 areas where you're good at, 3 areas that you could work on. And you'll be surprised at the results, because one of my friends from high school at the time when I did this activity noted that I had antisocial tendencies. And that's one of the major things that introverts get accused of, is being antisocial. So one of the things I did to fix that, I joined an additional Toastmasters club to get more speaking opportunities to practice public speaking, especially in a low impact environment like that for introverts, because it's a small group of people where you get to practice one of the most powerful skills that anyone can possess, and that is public speaking. And just taking that feedback and applying it to my own life and committing to it, and that involves going until you see results. Because one of the major things that will help propel you forward and give you encouragement and motivation and inspiration is when you see visible progress, because visible progress leads to visible achievement. And that visible achievement happened from having that desire for change, being curious, and then being committed, and then being consistent afterwards. Because if you're consistent afterwards, you can keep going and seeing how far you can grow. Heck, even a powerful question folks can, or the person listening right now can ask themselves is, instead of focusing on how long this will take, focus on how far can I go? Like with your podcast, like you've been going strong, man. You're like close to 400 episodes now, man. Like, dude, that's a huge accomplishment. Folks barely make it to 4 episodes, let alone 40 or even 100. But my man's closing in probably like, what, 20 episodes away from 400 episodes. Like, your consistency is a role model for those looking to start a podcast of their own. Like writing books, you yourself are a fellow published author. That takes commitment. That takes consistency. And you have to have a level of curiosity to figure out, okay, how the heck do I do this? How do I turn myself from a reader to a writer? And that's really what commitment is all about. Just having that curiosity and applying and taking action from that curiosity. And then once you start on something, you consistently keep, in a way, pounding the pavement. Just keep pounding until you find a way to get that visible progress that'll turn it to visible achievement.
Mastery comes with consistency and practice. And there's that great saying, I can't remember who said it, so forgive me if I butcher it, but repetition is the mother of skill.
Jim Rohn. He said that one. Jim Rohn, yep.
My favorite Jim Rohn expression is, you can either suffer the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And it's really funny. We were driving along the highway the other day, and we were talking about something, and I was meant to be doing something. I said, oh, I just don't feel like doing that. And from the back seat, my daughter said to me, Dad, pain of discipline or pain of regret? I went, oh, you got me, you got me. You know, so fair call. Fair call. So I went and did it. But anyway, just that consistency piece is really important. And I think, to your point, your podcast is called Going North, and I'd really encourage our listeners to go and check out your podcast and your books as well. You're a published author as well. You've got lots of podcasts, you've got lots of books. So there's that consistency there as well. But I want to just explore why you called your podcast and one of your books Going North, because I think that's a really interesting concept.
Oh, my pleasure indeed, and so glad you asked, because one day it was actually at work when I was developing a more positive mental attitude, and one day I was almost close to being semi-late for work. It was like 2 minutes before I was supposed to report for duty. Good thing we don't have clocks. We had the clock in, or probably would have been docked as late, but a colleague, she actually said, hey, Dom, how's it going? And I'm like, hey, I'm going north. And another colleague was sitting down, noting something down. She just busted out laughing because she just found it hilarious, because a lot of times we pick up these sayings and slogans and cliches and never really think about them sometimes. Heck, even my coach brought this up to me one time years ago, where he talks about the word peruse. It's like, hey, let me peruse through this material. But when he actually look in a dictionary, peruse means to actually really read and go through thoroughly. So when folks say peruse through something, they really mean they're trying to speed read through something, but they're not perusing. They're actually blazing through and trying to read as quickly as possible. But anyways, the going north, that's where the phrase came from. And then when I was encouraged to really write my book on a dare, I decided to write as much as I could and try to get my deadline in because I wanted to have the book done within a year because that was the original dare. And the thing was, I never had a title for my book. And that's the thing that aspiring authors who are listening to this right now may need to pick up as a tip, is that if you're looking to write a book, your title, you may not have it just yet. Sometimes the title you may have in mind may not be the same title when you're done. Because I never really had a title until about a good, I'd say, four to five months before my deadline of November 1st, 2016. And I'm like, wait, this book is a self-help book. It's taking the things that I've actually done and applied in my own life and putting it on paper. And it's like, hey, I'm actually being a messenger of what's actually worked for me that may help other folks. So, hey, going north is all about going up in your life and helping others to embrace their dreams. So if I'm embracing my dreams, this is really what it's all about, going north. And the first book was published with that name, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself. And then a good 9 months later, I decided to start a podcast because the books originally, that was a side quest. My main quest was to start a podcast because I heard an old show back in the day called The O Show, where they would have interviews with these professional wrestlers and celebrities, and they have these great conversations, episodes ranging anywhere from like 1 to sometimes 3 hours long. Like it was entertaining, like multiple co-hosts, like multiple segments. It was so great, and it inspired me to want to do a show of my own. But had that 2012 experience and then got into the guinea pig stage of self-development, when you read all the self-help books and apply them to your own life, and then writing a book of my own and realizing, hey, I need to market my book here. Oh, let me go ahead and start a podcast. Oh, what am I going to call it? Oh, I think I'll call it the Mr. Music and Reads podcast. And then I had a conversation with the coach. She's like, hey, you got this great idea, this great brand of Going North. Why don't you call it the Going North podcast? You can always change the name later. And I'm like, you know what? You are so right, because that's the curse of creative people. We have so many great ideas, but little execution. And sometimes we can get bored with something way too early, because I was about to call it something else. But sometimes I needed that redirection, my buddy, to redirect me north to naming the podcast the Going North podcast. And it's all about interviewing authors all over the world to give them a platform to share their stories and to promote their work, especially first-time writers who want to get interviewed and want to get their message out there. So it's been one heck of a journey. So Going North is really all about advancing yourself and helping others to advance as well. And that's really all it's all about. Let's all go north together.
I love the metaphor, because sometimes when we talk about things not working out, we talk about how things went south. And so I just love the opposite of that. And I love the fact that we're advancing and we're advancing together. So that leads me into the question around leadership. And, you know, in the work that we do with dentists, we talk about three levels of leadership: primary, secondary, and tertiary, where primary is leading yourself. How do I show up? Secondary is how do I lead others? And tertiary is about, you know, building other leaders, developing other leaders. And I wanted to talk about that in the context of your work, because you're a student of lots of different leadership techniques. You've applied them all. And of course, you've then crafted and created your own. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about how you see self-leadership and then how you see developing other people as well. I wondered if we could talk about a model or a framework or something that will give people an anchor to that self-leadership before we get into leading others.
Influence stems really from brain care, like your intake, like what do you listen to? What do you watch? Who are you around? It really all is about managing the decisions that you make, because at the end of the day, it's kind of like that Grant Cardone book, Sell or Be Sold. It's like you're either influencing others or you're being influenced. Like with this great podcast, it's a positive influence for folks, especially those in the dental industry. It's like, hey, let's see if we can make some more teeth shine across the globe, especially after the pandemic where folks are eating a bunch of junk food who are stuck at home. It's like finding that wonderful mission and just really trying to make a positive influence. And that's really where leadership starts. It's kind of like that saying, charity starts at home. Well, leadership starts with you first, that primary level you mentioned, where you have to lead yourself effectively before you lead other people. Because the thing is, if you're not leading yourself well, then other folks aren't really going to believe you. Because the thing is, a story in a wonderful book that actually noted in my second book, Stay the Course, the story about Shawn Michaels, a professional wrestler, Hall of Famer, where he actually started in his career. He was probably in his early 20s in a tag team with a buddy of his, Marty Jannetty. But he actually was in the gym working out, and this legendary wrestler known as Tony Falk mentioned that the business that he's in, the wrestling business, is a body business. And ever since he heard that, Shawn made sure that he worked out at least 5 days out of the week, 5 to 6 days out of the week, sometimes 7 days a week. And even after he retired, I believe, 13 years ago now, he still does daily workouts as a requirement. So that way he can still be able to move around, because he had a bad back injury that was considered a career-ending injury. But finding faith and going through surgery and really finding a second wind, he was able to have a second wind career. And to help out with that, to keep that second wind going, he works out a lot. So that's the reason why it's all about influence, making sure you have that positive influence around you. And sometimes it's just simple tips like those. Sometimes you only even need to hear it once. It's like, hey, this is a body business, like the business that you're in. It's a business of people. You yourself, the person, everybody else, because you have to take care of you before you take care of others. Kind of like that classic Jim Rohn quote, which is one of my favorites. I'll take care of me for you if you take care of you for me.
Oh, wow. That's a great one, isn't it? That's really good. And I think it does come back to the whole concept of putting your own oxygen mask on, in the sense that you've got to be able to be in good enough shape to help other people. And, you know, as you say, self-care, your influence, you know, who you're, you know, surrounding yourself with, your peer group, who you're drawing inspiration from, is really key. What do you think are the qualities that you think are on display when someone is leading themselves well? How would someone else observe that? How would someone else be able to say that guy has got it all together?
The first two that popped in my head instantly is definitely confidence and competence. And confidence leads to confidence. Because the thing is, if you see somebody who's good at what they do, then you got to realize, hey, they work to get to that point. It's kind of like the magician of revealing his secrets. Well, in today's society where everybody likes to be a metaphorical magician, not reveal their secrets and fake it till they make it, there's some real genuine folks out there you may never hear about, because they are so good at what they do, because they work so much on their craft that they have so much confidence in what they do, because they have a level of unconscious confidence in what they do, that they can do things at so much of a rapid rate and get things so well done. Like seeing someone in a customer service position with a cheerful expression, cheerful tone of voice, and just helping folks to have a smile. Heck, even the classic turning a frown upside down, being able to help flip emotions in other people to control that. Just seeing that on display, just seeing that confidence in action. And then also someone who's fully activated, someone who's also self-aware and has a high level of EQ, emotional intelligence. Because the thing is about leadership, one of the high skills under leadership that every leader, high performing leader, has is EQ, high emotional intelligence. Because the thing is, self-awareness is under that, and that goes back to leading yourself earlier, but also having a good feel for your fellow colleagues, your subordinates, your superiors, like those around you. Because the thing is about this era, this year that we're in the aftermath where after the first 20 years of the new millennium, folks are in a different headspace. Like they want things so rapidly now. I was actually even talking to a nurse a few days ago for my podcast, and she's writing a book of about what the nurses had to go through in a certain part of the US of A with the whole crazy 2020 situation and the aftermath of it, with the kids to the grown-ups, like grown-ups driving through red lights, not giving a darn what's going on in like, forget the ticket. Like, I just need to get to my location now. Like, darn the world. If I die, whatever, I need to get through this freaking light. To kids having to learn how to get those social skills. And heck, even some kids who even may still be hindered because their parents are letting them stay in the virtual bubble, if you will, of learning and not getting around those other kids and learning from them. So just having that emotional intelligence to read the room and try to figure out, okay, so what does Marcy like? Is she a person who loves football? Is she like a American football fan? Or does she prefer soccer? Like, what's her favorite dessert? Maybe I can surprise her with a Twix one day if she had my back and covered a shift for me. Like, just learning different things about those around you, especially those that you work with. And then also encouraging other people too, because those who are in leadership, they know how to truly encourage people, especially when good behavior is on display. So if you're truly competent in what you do and then gain more confidence from it with a high level of EQ, being able to read the room, which is probably a highly, highly paid skill at this point, because there's some folks who don't know how to read rooms, and being able to encourage others unselfishly, you'll be around a person and you'll be a leader that everyone would love to be around.
I want to talk about the encouragement of other people. One of the things that the dentists listening to this show will probably encounter, if they haven't yet already, is that if they're running their practice, their business, and they want to take time out of their business, they need to know that they're leaving the business in good hands. They want to know that the team is competent, as we've discussed already. But we also need to make sure that they're able to deal with situations that may arise in the absence of the business owner. And so I wanted to talk about the development of other people, whether that's a training piece, whether that's an encouragement piece, whether it's, you know, how do you identify, you know, prospective leaders, what sort of behaviors might you be observing in them, how do you nurture and nourish them and grow them, I guess is the question I'm really trying to ask you.
Hey, it's a darn good question. It's so true, because another facet of leadership, especially those who've been in it for a while, and depending on your ego level, it can be hard to get rid of the hero mentality where it's like you come in and save everybody. It's like, hey, like my man, Dr. Jesse, my man is here, baby. Like, if he's here, we good. If he ain't here, the ship is sinking, baby, and we're going to drown and we're going to drink some alcohol on the way down. Like, nah, like you have to be able to really encourage your folks to really be able to give them the abilities and be like, hey, I need to self-care myself so you can self-care yourself down the road. Because like even one person I worked with, they used to work at a post office, and her fellow supervisor, shift supervisor, they shared the same birthday. So they would basically swap years where every odd or even year, one person would work on their birthday and one would swap out. So that way they could actually have that time off that they could truly enjoy, so they could be fair to both of them. And that comes from that encouragement piece and emotional intelligence piece. And when it comes to training, always reassuring and reaffirming folks like, hey, you can do this, noting the good things that they do over and over again. Heck, even making training fun in a way, finding ways to be outside of the box and incorporating humor. Because as they say, facts fade, story sticks, and then the spoonful of sugar can make the medicine go down. So if you can make someone laugh, you can make them buy. And if you can make them laugh, you can make them buy into their own greatness by making sure that you give as much encouragement as possible, checking in on them, seeing what they need to know. Because heck, even with my day job at one point, we're required to train folks on the basics. And it's like, hey, okay, so we need to train everybody to use the copy machine. Well, this is freaking boring, because 90% of folks have a good idea of how a copier works and they're going to feel kind of offended. So what do? I just grab a random funny corny joke, stick it onto a giant walking corn cob with a pair of sunglasses, and we use that as our little test subject for training folks on the copier. Because it's like, some folks might feel like you're insulting their intelligence, but if they can get a good laugh out of it, it's like, okay, this is a little less painful for me.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that's the thing is, you know, training is one of those things that any organization needs to go through with their people. We probably don't want to assume anything when we're training. And you're right, making it fun. And if you, as you say, if you can bring a bit of humor to it, you can, as you say, make people laugh, they can buy it, and specifically they buy into themselves. And that's great, because it creates confidence, and confidence creates competence, as you said earlier, and competence reinforces confidence again. And so the whole virtuous cycle continues up. What do you wish people knew that you don't think people know as widely as you'd like them to know?
I always love questions like those to make you think indeed. Let's see. I'd have to say the libraries are filled with gold, especially public libraries that get a decent amount of funding, because one thing that I always like to preach about is like, hey, your local library, make sure you support it, because during the wonderful year that shall not be named, 3 years ago at the time of this recording, where we had a pesky elephant in the world, we actually had to be a hub for families to pick up free meals for their children. We also were able to get enough funding to supply our communities with over 300 laptops that they can take home and use personally and check out for free, as well as 50 plus Wi-Fi hotspots so folks can have internet at home, and also expanding the Wi-Fi to reach the parking lot. So for that way, if it's a good weather day and they have a laptop their own but they don't have internet at home, they can come around and use the actual Wi-Fi in the parking lot or outside in nature. So just really supporting your local libraries, because they're more than books. Like, they're information sanctuaries. You can get information to advance yourself. Like, they're especially public libraries, community libraries, where folks are covered, as I like to jokingly say, from Pampers to Depends, from diaper to diaper.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Hey, Dom, we've covered a lot of material today, and I know that there's a lot of things that we can and could talk about. If you were to think about, you know, a dentist sitting in their dental practice and thinking about their aspirations around running their business. Now, most people run their own business because they want to create a life that's rewarding, and rewarding on lots of different fronts, whether it's the financial rewards, whether it's time and freedom rewards, or even, you know, fulfillment and satisfaction rewards as well. What leadership lessons do you think that are really relevant and pertinent? It could be some things we've mentioned already, or it could be something that we haven't spoken about. What do you think are the key things that, you know, people in an industry or a profession such as dentistry should keep in mind as they go about growing the business to give themselves those rewards?
Sure thing. Well, one of the secrets to life is living without fear, definitely. And if you have fear, to really move into that direction, because fear can be a compass of where you actually need to go. And heck, even that's been true in my own life, because a classic, especially in my teenage years, when I just wanted to be lazy and play video games all day, the fact that I actually went forward and actually got a part-time job with the encouragement from my mom at the time, that part-time job turned into a side job and then eventually a career. And just really just tapping into that. And not only once you're getting there, I mentioned consistency earlier. One thing I neglected to mention is that with consistency, that doesn't mean consistently doing the same exact thing over and over again. It also means as you're going along and continuing to produce and get more clients and seeking out more clients, adjusting your processes along the way. Because one thing that I've done in my own life, especially for my podcast, is having a scheduling system in place. And every person that gets on the show, they're going to get 6 reminders by default. A week before, 32 hours before, an hour before, those are all through email. Then through text message, 24 hours before, then the hour before, and then the 10 minutes before. So that way that they don't forget, and for the PR companies that may book through the show, they get their reminders in, their reminders that, hey, this ain't your ordinary podcaster who's going to flake on people. And also taking feedback from folks around you, because one thing I asked probably my first 20 guests, and one thing that I subconsciously knew, but someone confirmed it for me, like partway through the interview, let's say 45-65% way through, I would ask him, hey, what's your favorite type of music? And it's like, wait, what? Like, he's having a random conversation. And this wasn't no lightning round question. It was just a random question about their favorite music. And it just kind of killed the vibe of where we were in that certain space. And one of my listeners was like, hey, so do you still ask that question? I'm like, nah. I was like, oh, she was like, good. All right, cool. And that just killed the vibe. And I'm like, just taking that feedback and applying it to your own life. So consistency isn't just continuously taking action and moving forward. It's moving forward intentionally and taking feedback along the way and applying it to your life and seeing where it applies. And always try and network with other people and have other folks in your industry, especially, and some from outside your industry that understand where you're coming from, that can encourage you, coach you, and mentor you. Because the thing is, one of the biggest setbacks for folks in business is that feeling of loneliness, that they have to go it alone. But if you're around folks who have some intel that you can take in and apply to your own life, you're not really alone, especially if you have someone who understands where you're coming from. So seek out some folks to have you on your metaphorical dream team, because if you want to go as far as you can go, you're going to need a team. You can do it fast alone somewhat, but you're going to need a team if you're going to really want to get where you want to go at a faster, more rapid rate.
Hey, Dom, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful call to action or catch cry there. I think, you know, for us to all go forward, we're going to want to go forward together. And I really believe that, you know, one of the essential elements of business is being able to move forward with others, because what's the expression? If you want to go fast, go on your own. But if you want to go far, go with others. And I think that, you know, to go with others, you need to develop those leadership skills, which is phenomenal. Dom, you've been really generous with your time today. I want to thank you so much. I know it's late in the evening for you, so I'm especially grateful to you for sitting up late at this hour to come and talk to us. Ladies and gents, if you want to have a listen to Dom's podcast, which is called Going North, I really encourage you to have a listen to it, because there's piles and piles of episodes there. There's some really good interviews there. And of course, there's the books as well, Going North, Staying the Course, and others as well. And I'd really encourage you to get a hold of that material and devour it, because the thing, as I said at the beginning of the show, is that, you know, for your business to grow, first you must grow. And that's true for all of us. It's not just dentists, it's true for everyone. And I think what Dom's laid out there is a really good path to growth. And that will bring you rewards in all elements of your life, not just your business, but in all elements of your life. And I think that's a really rich and rewarding enterprise. So, Dom, thank you for sharing your expertise with us today, mate. You've been very generous. I appreciate it a great deal, and I can't wait to catch up with you again.
Hey, thanks a bunch, Dr. Jesse, man. Appreciate it, especially when I get to return the favor of you on Going North, my man.
I'm looking forward to that. Anytime, you can count me in. You can count me in. All right, mate. Thanks once again.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.